Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Lord, I pray today as we get into your word that you would help us see you, see purpose, see what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how you're doing it. Help us, God. Think through my mind. Speak through my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be accepted on thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer. And every glad and happy heart say amen. Let's just start with our original text, the ones to which the artist really talked about. And that is 1 Corinthians 5, starting at 17th verse. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God. What a powerful scripture. What a powerful passage. None of us would argue that we need to be reconciled with God. That's not a problem. The problem comes in when he says that we are an ambassador for reconciliation. When he says we have a word of reconciliation. When he says you got to cross the line to go to somebody who's estranged from me, who's estranged from you, who doesn't look like you, act like you, walk like you, talk like you, think like you, and you've got to go and communicate to them what my expectation is. That's what I'm really asking you to do. I'm not asking you to stay safely, neatly packaged in your own world, in your own life, though that might be comfortable and that might just be germane to everything that you've always known or done. I'm asking for something different. God says, and in fact, you know when you come to church, I love the scripture says, if you come and offer your gift and they recognize that your brother have an ought with you, he says, don't offer your gift to God. Go lay your gift down, be reconciled with your brother, then go pick it up and offer it to God. How many of us are willing to stop everything in our life that we say we do for God and settle the issue in our heart, it might be separating us from our brother? Today, I hope to prove to you that everyone is in this message. Your story might be different, but the application is still the same. We need changed hearts to lead to changed actions, to lead to changed lives. And we're going to spend the most of our time in Acts 10. And the reason that this subject matter is important to me and this month in general is important to me is because February is the love month. You know, if you do this month right, you will be loved. Learn from me. I know these things. Do this month right. It's Pastor Rice's birthday, which he left before we got a chance to celebrate. It's my mom's birthday, and his mom's birthday is on the same day. Look, God deep in here. You know, that Pastor Rice called me, this is amazing. That's what he did. And it's Black History Month, and if you didn't know, I'm a black man. I don't frequently talk from the position I'm going to talk from today for a moment. But it's really to give you a perspective of me and how I arrived at a place like Bethel, so desperate for what we offer, desperate for our brand of reconciliation, desperate for it, desperate. I remember the first time that I got angry about Black History Month. Number one, I didn't know it was a month. Number two, somebody from another school came to me and say, what did you learn this month during Black History Month? I said, first of all, I didn't know it was a month, and I didn't learn anything. And they started telling me, you know, names like, you know, simple names like Frederick Douglass, you know, Carter G. Woodson, you know, just simple names like basic stuff. you know, Rosa, you know, and I was like, man, I'm just clueless. And in me, I remember as a young man that that virus started to trickle, just start to move around on the inside of me. I began to say, I need to be angry at somebody in authority for not teaching me. And the only people that was in authority was my white principal and my white teacher, so that it was the object. And I remember that day going to school after realizing that I haven't been taught black history. We don't have a black history class, nothing. And I organized within 30 minutes a sit-in. Because I heard that's what you do when you're upset. And we got this sit-in going, and we beating lockers, and I'm leading it. I'm giving the chance. I'm giving everything, and I feel good about myself because I feel that I'm about to make a difference. And the principal, Mr. Swaggy, comes to me and he pulls me to the side and say, "I need you to help me stop this." I said, "I need some black history taught to me then." And I learned the power of organizing and the power of you know, kind of making some demands, and he began to negotiate with me and gave me everything I wanted, and everybody went back to school. The problem was is that the virus was going deep in me, that my activities were not initiated by the Ministry of Reconciliation or Christ or anything. There was just some need in me, some injustice had happened, and I got a right as a human being to, you know, fight against injustice. After all, didn't God die for me to fight for myself? So it's brewing in me, but at the same time, the conflict is brewing in me, that the very help that I need is coming from people who don't look like me. And it's coming in a consistent way that it makes me love and enjoy. And yet this other thing is trying to brew in me that when you're at home and you hear about the black experience, the negative of it, the horror of the story comes out, and it seems like your uncles and everybody are saying, you know, the reason that we're in this condition, if you want to know who you can point the finger at, if you want to know who you should get upset with, if you want to know what their face looks like, find somebody white. That's your problem. They got your job. They're holding you down. And all of a sudden, even though you don't know to think this way or feel this way or to be this way, you just get caught up in something. And I was trying to trace the roots to the virus to produce a conflict where you love on one hand and you despise on the other. This double standard that was being born in me. And I traced it down, Pastor Bruce, to a moment when the nail was put in the coffin. They should have never did this in society. A TV miniseries came on called Roots. And I found the root to my problem in the stories of Chicken George and Kunta Kinte and Kizzy. Why? And then you add it all together and you get caught up in the pain. And you feel the freedom and the release, as he said right here, being an angry black man. I don't even know really what that was, but just let's just be angry. Because after all, the person I'm pointing anger to didn't do nothing to me. It's just how history has been colored and presented to me. This making me estranged in the heart area. So go to my first moment where I'm going to be called that word that no African American wants to be called by somebody outside of their ethnic group. And even within. And I remember my coach coming to me, it was a football game, and he says, "Listen, this team is notorious for using this word. They're all white. We're going up to an area where there are no black people. We want you to stay calm when this happens. They might spit on you, throw stuff at you. The refs are not going to give you any calls. Their coaches are not going to stop them. Their parents are not going to stop them. And we're not going to do anything. We just wanted to inform you. So this is my first experience after Roots. And I get out there and no matter how bad they say it's going to be, you never think it's going to be that bad. And it's everything they said. And I'm furious. Not at them saying it to me, but there is no system. There is no structure. There is no authority. There's nothing to rot it out. And I feel the conflict on the inside of me where they ask me to be Martin and I want to be Malcolm. It was so easy to get the pleasure of learning black history and learning about Martin Luther King Jr., but now I don't want to be Kim. I'm not designed to sit in at the lunch counter. I'm not designed to just ride along. I'm not designed to just march. I was born to fight. It's who I am at the core. So I gave back what I was given. Don't make you feel better, but it makes you feel justified. And I remember singing in that game a song. Came to me spontaneously because I felt powerless. We got the victory through the blood of the Lamb. It's an old Gladys Knight song. I don't know why I sung it, but when you're in your most desperate moment, you've got to go to the only place you can go. But the conflict, the virus was still in me. It was in there deep. Now I'm getting out the game, and I feel justified to be disrespectful to authority. Coach asked me something. What you want? I never talk like that. The virus set in. It's spreading. Principal asked, what? And it's in deep now. And what do you do with this conflict? And the only thing, the salvation you have is that God is in us, teaching us and giving us a conscience. And the moment I started pulling out was the voice, because of the voice that came after all of the pain. I started listening to Louis Farrakhan. Y'all know I was in trouble. I was already militant. In Detroit, you know, Muslim Brotherhood, they'd be dressed nice and had their bow tie and they came back. Come on, brother. How you doing, brother? Come on now. You know, every... And they just looked so dignified. And I'd seen my ethnic group in such an undignified position as if they had nothing of quality to offer. And I said, you know, at least that has some dignity on it. And I want to feel dignified. So I listened to Louis, and if you've ever listened to Louis Farrakhan for just a moment, he can preach. And I mean, you can get caught up in the romance of what he's saying. And like, yes! But there's two things he begins to do that any person with Christ anywhere close has to say, oh no, Louis, you done left the plant. I got to leave. Louis is going to diminish Jesus Christ to just one of the great prophets that lived, not the Son of God, not the Savior of the world. And then he's going to say something, and it'll be shocking if you've never heard it before. All, not some, all white people are devils. All of them. Go fair counsel. No, all of them. The babies? The babies!
That's when they say, oh, man, he just done went too far. I just, Lord, I got to, Lord, I know all them people ain't bad. And you begin to search for a changed heart. That's why as you continue to hear the rest of this message, I'm happy to have landed in a place where the heart is exposed by the very seat that we occupy, that we believe better things of God and one another. And it's impossible for me to raise my hands with you and still feel disconnected from you. It's impossible for me not to defend your honor in here. It's impossible when I look at the police officers that work in here, these men, I'll just defend them with my life. It's impossible once you become family to be anything else. Sorry, my family's blended. I'm on the side of Christ in the blended family. I have traded in my exclusivity, my members only card in one group for what Christ is offering everybody, unity in his group. The banner of Christianity is what I claim because it's in there. It's all mixed up the way God wants it. Well, how do you know God wants it like that, Pastor James? Acts 17, 26. God says, from one blood, from one man, God made every nation of men. He did this so we would seek. He gave them the exact place of their habitation, exactly where you should live. And he said he did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out to him. In other words, you will never be reconciled and live harmoniously with another human being without Christ at work in your heart. I don't care what laws you can change. If the heart, if Christ is not at work in the heart, the law won't help you. Stop thinking that the power, beloved, is anywhere else but with us. Well, the world is bad. Well, it's bad as long as I don't have a revelation of an ambassador of Christ and a reconciler and a ministry and a job to do. I'm not afraid of a world that looks divided because I have the antivirus. I have the antidote. I have everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. So we're going to look today at the life of Peter in Acts 10. And because I can't read 42 verses to you, I'm going to paraphrase them and pick a couple. But you want to look, when you get a chance, at the whole thing. Peter is the leader of the church. And whenever God wants to correct something, he does not start with governing officials. He does not start with the enemy. He starts in his own house, in his own church, and he says, I'm going to expect and see if the virus is there, and that's where I'm going to get it out. Now, you might be saying, well, I'm glad I'm here because the virus is not in me, but I'm going to show you a man that was with Christ, and the virus was in him and with him. And it has prevented the church in the beginning from the first day from having the fullest expression it could have because its leadership had some racist tendencies in its heart that hadn't been purged out. Pete, his best friend. Pete, the one responsible to build the institution that you and I are benefiting from right now, had racism. Had a superiority complex. And God starts the story out in Acts 10 talking about a man in another nation. that's a Gentile, that's a Roman, and he's in the army. He's a centurion in the cohort. This guy, an Italian, and God begins to praise this lost person. Says, "I've heard this lost person's prayers. I've seen this lost person's alms. In fact, their devout lifestyle and the way they give has come all the way up to heaven, and I have made a memorial for it. I want to remember it. It's so good." One, before I move on, so I know I heard it said, God did not hear the prayers of the sinners. He don't, well, you just study Acts 10. He hears the prayer of those who are seeking him.
Yes, he does.
He does. So here's a man, and he says his alms have come up like a moment. Don't say it don't matter what you give to God. God is so impressed with this lost person is doing in the way of giving to other people that he says, "I want to remember this. This is good stuff."
That's exactly right.
What is he saying about me, James Lowe, when I give? Just me. You have to deal with you. I think about me. Well, what am I doing? So, this man is so touched by God that God sends an angel and said, "Cornelius, I'm helping you today. I want you to get down to Simon's house. Send some men down there to bring him to your house so we can work on some stuff." At this time, the Bible says that Simon Peter was praying. When he had finished praying, or as soon as he said he was praying, the Bible says he got hungry. And the Bible says while they were preparing the food for him, he fell into a trance. In this trance, he saw a sheet coming down with reptiles and birds and all these what we would call unclean animals coming down. God says to Peter in this vision, "Kill this and eat it." And Peter says, "I got to read this to you because I just don't want you to miss what needs to change in my brother." Verse 13. "And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'By no means, or no, Lord, for I never eat anything that is common or unclean.' And the voice came to him again a second time, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and the thing was taken up to heaven at once." Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen means, behold, men from Cornelius were coming to inquire at Peter's house, and they stood at the gate. "No, Lord." Now, you know Peter needed a change of heart. "You are my boss. I know I'm here to do a job for you, but the one you asked me to do today, I'm not doing that one. I opt out. That's a little nasty. That's a little too grimy for me. I'm willing to accept your salvation and the fact that you and I are reconciled, but I will not accept the responsibility to do this type of work. It's unclean to me." And God says, "Don't call something unclean that I or common that I have made clean. I made it this way. I'm doing the work." Peter, the scripture says, after three times of seeing this vision, is perplexed in his heart. I'm confused. What are you confused about, Peter? The fact that God told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. What are you confused about, Peter, that you've been hanging out with only the Jews? You've been trying to keep the law instead of the law of grace. What are you confused about, Peter? Yes, you betrayed him by denying him. You turned your back on him, and once and he redeemed you, and now you're turning your back on the Great Commission. Peter, your problems are catching up with you. Peter, don't you know that Jesus ministered to the Syrophoenician woman. Don't you know he ministered to a centurion? But his heart is exposed because he's saying that this is common and not God is sending the very enemy to his house. The centurion is a Roman. Oh, yeah. By the way, these are the people who beat and killed your best friend. Oh, I know God wouldn't send me them. Because I know what they did. Now send me some people with less sins. No. Let's send you the people that you could possibly have the greatest problem with. And the community would have a problem with you hanging with them too. Let's let that happen. You know what, Peter? You're going to have a change of heart. And you know what I'm doing, Peter? I'm allowing life to force the issue. Stop thinking something strange is happening in society. When we do God's work, we'll get God's results. Other than that, sin is going to sin. The world's going to go left. Skip down to the... And Peter went down, 21st verse, to the men and said, I am the one that you're looking for. What is the reason for you coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by the holy angels to send for you and to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. What if I told you that there is a sinner that don't look like you, don't act like you, walk like you, talk like you. In fact, they may do some things or have a past that you hate. But they were seeking God. And they were crying out for answers from God. And that you are the answer to someone's prayer. But you're going to have a change of heart. You're the answer. The setup is clear. You're the answer. So how did Peter answer? You're going to have to answer with some actions. This is not some internal feeling, some loosey-goosey, like I think I'm different now. No. You're going to have to act different in a tangible, visible way, a change action. And it happened in verse 23. So he invited them to be his guest. Oh, my Jesus. Not them. Now I'm going to treat you with some respect. Some hospitality. I'm going to treat you with some humanity. I'm going to treat you as somebody worthy of kingdom love and expression. I'm going to bless you and not curse you. I'm going to love you because you're my adversary. I'm going to love you. Are you there where Peter is? You got to act different. He was perplexed, though. Now, he ain't worked the heart issue out, but he said, you know, I better start moving. God's showing up in visions and everything. Church, you better start moving. Let me tell you something about your boss. He nice and love. God of love. You play around with this boss if you want to. You'll get a good, healthy reason to have the fear of God. You don't have to say amen on that because it's scary. And the next day, they rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the way, and on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. And when Peter entered, Cornelius tried to bow to him. Go to verse 27. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many persons gathered, and he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I, without objection, I asked then, why have you sent for me? So here is Peter saying, look, I was perplexed. I was confused. I was confronted in a vision with things I didn't want to do. Then you gave me a reality I didn't want to have. But in all of that confusion, I had the right actions. I invited you in. I've gotten to your house. It's not even lawful for us to be hanging out like this. We're different.
But yet Christ is demanding for us to be united. So what do you have me here for? Because I'm here to work. I got the right motive. He's got a room full of his family, Cornelius does, his friends and everybody. Look at this sinner that's doing the work that saints should do, doing pre-evangelism even before he hears the gospel. Yes. Let me get everybody. Something good's about to happen. Peter's actions. You're talking about having to be against your group. Let me drop a bomb in here. I'm going to drop a bomb. This Bethel, we can say certain things when it comes to relation. I did this when I was in high school. You want to make the sisters mad? The sisters know what I'm going to say right now. You want to make the sisters mad? Go hang out with a white girl. Oh! They scared to say something right now, but I already know. But again, back to my story, God began working in my heart, and that conflict that Farrakhan threw me right into the arms of Jesus. I'm not designed to be a hater, I'm a lover. And I remember that the group, the society, the cultural norm was to stay separate, just like that was with Peter. It's unlawful for us to hang out and interact. You know, I'm crossing the line. I remember the day I crossed the line. And I remember the day I was tapped on the shoulder, what you doing? I said, I'm just being kind. I'm just being a friend. You know, we ain't over here, they enemies. We don't be doing that stuff. I'm not doing nothing. And I talked to the young lady. And you know what that turned into? It was turning into a little bit of a like relationship, but that was just a little side nugget that easily desired. You know that same school that's all white? They were calling me them bad names? She was in such leadership at her school that she got me to come in as a guest speaker to the whole student body. I'm sorry, it's me. And the birthing of this call to reconciliation, to speak to people who don't look like me, were always born because not only was I received, I was overwhelmingly received, and now my heart was broken. Now love flooded in, not just that was initiated for a male-female relationship, but no, it had graduated into a community of people. One person turned many. Had to go against the norm to get with Christ. Finally, the last point is change actions. I'm sorry, I'm severely over time. And change lives, I mean. He preaches the gospel to them. And you can read it. He said, let me tell you about Jesus. I know that you're God-fearing, but you're like those people at Athens who worship in ignorance. You're devout and you give, and it's ignorance. You don't know who you're worshiping. Let me give you a name. Let me give him a face. It's Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified by y'all folks, but it's all right. He got up and he loves everybody, even you and me, and he wants us to work together. The Bible says before Peter could finish speaking, the Holy Ghost fell in the room and everybody began to speak in tongues. Sorry if you don't like that part of scripture. Just read it. It's it. The Spirit fell and a group of people who were not taught about tongues. It wasn't a teaching. It wasn't a session. They were caught up in a revelation of Jesus. And the worship went into a whole manahatasha. Something supernatural began to be expressed. And the greatest line that I got to close this sermon, and y'all stand on your feet while I say it. The greatest line of the whole sermon comes right here in verse 47. Can any, let's do, for they were all hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then he asked him to remain some days. Peter went. He got a changed heart. He had changed action to change the movement to change lives. Not just Cornelius' life. His life was changed. Peter is saying, I can't just live with the Jews anymore. If God baptizes them with the Spirit, then they have to be baptized into the fellowship of the church. I'm going to have to do life with them. The Bible said they asked him to stay some days. We family now. We have the same experience. We have the common Savior. We under a banner of Christianity. I've dispensed of being a Jew. You've dispensed of being a Gentile. We're just Christ followers right now. With a ministry of reconciliation, baptized into the church. This change is not real in us until we reach beyond us and let God show up. My black people, you can't just reach black people. Pastor Wright's greatest messages to me were, James, God has given you an inheritance all over the world, and I've seen every ethnic group get saved because the revelation comes. White people, Asian people, Hispanic people, you can't just reach everybody that looks like you. God is calling you to your enemy, your adversary. If you're black and you understand that there's tensions over police misconduct, find police officers and love on them. Balance out the situation. Just love on them. Find them on purpose. And let me tell you something. I know you're not the bad that we saw, so I want to thank you for the good that you provide for me. Love them. You're a reconciler. You're an ambassador. You don't even represent yourself. It's okay if you're white, even though black people can overdo maybe Black History Month, maybe we're going too far, or whatever. But you don't know. But some people may feel, if you're white, just go to them and just acknowledge the month. You'll just make a friend that you know is Black History Month. They'll be like, wow, oh man, wow, and they'd just be so happy. Black people, go to white people and say, you wasn't a slave master. You don't owe me nothing. What you tell them people so they don't have to just live with a cloud and shame and try to endure the month? Just come on, let people off the hook. I love you. I'm here by choice. And I would quit if it's all us black folk. Black folk, if you don't do what this three things are, if you won't do it, if you won't listen, if you will not listen and reach people who don't look like, I will quit. I promise you. I'm not called to lead a church that wants to just be black or just be white. That's not my calling. He fixed that in me when he got Farrakhan out. He got name calling. Now, I don't care about that stuff. We've been called. Do your assignment. Do your part. Be changed in your heart. Changed in your actions. And we'll get changed lives. And one of the lives that'll change will be ours. Bow your heads. Lord, if ministry team, come down while I'm praying. If there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, at the conclusion of my voice, you can come get to know him. But God, I'm praying for everybody who wants this ministry to descend upon them in a new way, with a new burden and a refreshed revelation. All of those who are done saying no to the Lord, and that you're actually going to receive this vision of reconciliation in this ministry. You're going to receive it.
and you see yourself going out for the rest of your life, reaching people, loving people that don't look like you. If that's you today, because that's me, raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Lord, descend upon us. Help us. Bless us. Love us. God, give us a grace and an anointing to communicate the good news and the gospel like never before. Take us to a new place, a high place, a God place. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all you're doing. God, bless those that need to get saved, to come and get saved. And touch us in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Guys, this Wednesday night, please come. I don't know who's going to be here because I did a poor job putting the night together. All the people I wasn't invited, didn't invite. I didn't do a lot of stuff. But we're going to be praying for all the stuff you heard in that poetry. Ferguson, the police. We're just going to be praying. And I might have some governing officials here. But please just show up. Let's pray. Let's do what we call to do. God bless you. You are dismissed. Love you. Pray.